Let's all just calm down, because it's time for more stories and less stabbing.
Hello, nice to see you. It's been a long time, something, something. Country music is sad most of the time. Oh, I said time and time again. Time and time.
Rhyme? Again.
I always rhyme time with rhyme and time with rhyme. My name is Curtis.
And I'm Tara.
And this is the Curtis and Tara Show. Hello and welcome back to the Curtis and Tara Show. I'm sure you wonder what happened. We've been gone for a little while. But did you ever have one of those country music weeks? Country music, like just country song weeks where it's like...
You kill your wife.
Kind of, but dies. It's like, you know,
your horse dies.
You get some super bad news, and you know, your cat runs away. Your boss is sleeping at your house. just all of those things. Your bike decides to stop shifting gears while you're on a hill, and you really need to shift gears and not have it in gear limbo. Anyway, all those things kind of roll together, and you just want to write a country song, or it's not even, you don't have to write it, just when you list them, when you think about them all in your head at once, it's just like, they pretty much might as well rhyme, or I should hire some gravelly-voiced country guy to strum on a guitar and just say them, and I'll be like, yeah, that's how I feel. But, you know, the best thing when you got a bunch of stuff rolling in your head is to, like, just talk about it and get it out there. And it's also one of those things that's like, oh, hey, there's this one thing, but my mom would be mad if I talked about that. So it's like, all right, I can't mention that thing. And then whatever, working on this other thing. And it's like, oh, can't really talk about that either. So that's still whatever. So doop-de-doo. And then hey. And then it's like, well, I got nothing other than my cat ran away.
Yeah.
So it has been a long while. It's been a few days since the cat ran away. That's the latest in just weird things. And I'm like, I would love to just turn on the microphones and start recording for hours and hours, but it would just be me saying, what about this thing? And then this thing, and then that thing. And then it's, you know, be more not funny than funny. So, we wait a little while. Ripley has disappeared. She literally, right before our eyes, walked out on the step, which she normally would just, you know, go to the edge of the step and then come back in because, you know, she's more afraid of things than I am. But this time she was like, nah, let's just go for it. And she went out under the step and then, I guess, into the wilderness. I don't know. She's been gone for days. She may come back. Who knows? She might be dead in a ditch or eaten by an eagle or a hawk. There's a multitude of different things that could happen, but she's also super good at hiding. So she might actually be, I'm kind of guessing, maybe in my neighbor's house or in their garage and stealing any food that they leave around, because that's the kind of cat she is. She hunkers down. She hides out. So I honestly don't think that she's dead. And I don't know, maybe that's selfish of me. Maybe I'm a maniac where it's like, oh, I would just rather find her corpse and get it over with or have her come home. Like, I don't like the, you know, just the not knowing. Like, even if we could have a, you know, hobo moment where it's like, oh, there she is on the crest of a hill, like, wink and away she goes. All right, go solve a mystery and go find that treasure or help, you know, a disabled child, you know, get some rights in a backwards town or, you know, whatever else the littlest hobo might do. I did get a surge of adrenaline there this morning when I took the dog for a walk, and this cat was just fully just sitting in a field, and I almost never just, you know, I never see cats outside just hanging out watching us go for a walk. It was up the street a little ways there.
Was it Ripley?
It wasn't Ripley, but it was a cat that looked as disheveled looking, or, you know, oddly colored as Ripley is, but just instead of her eyes being different colors, like both sides of her face were different colors. So she looked kind of, I don't know, like she'd been in an accident, but I think it was just her natural coloring.
You You hope.
I hope so. Either way, that cat
it was
just...
Ripley, but she was half burned.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was like, oh, maybe it kind of
and
like
she's
she
like
just,
it's me. Yeah. You're like, get out of here.
I guess I should have tried calling her to see if she'd come and checked her eyes. But yeah, maybe she was burnt and caramelized a little, so her color changed. But it looked, it didn't look burnt. It looked, I don't know, it looked like a nice little cat, I guess, just grossly colored. Just one of those like vomit pattern.
What if it was like on Pepe Le Pew, where the cat just happens to walk under some paint?
That's all I'm thinking about now. Now I feel like I should go back down there and see if that is
just rolling around in the fire pit.
Yeah, and I know it's fully possible for cats to just go and find new life. You know, people will feed strays
in Catville. Oh,
No, just
I thought that's what you know. And then they just walk on their hind legs and stuff and.
If that's a thing, then sure.
Have a little town.
I'll grant them that as well. But mostly they're just little tricksters. They'll work their way into your home, into your heart. Next thing you know, oh, this is my cat now, I guess. And they're stuck. And they're just there.
It's never really yours.
And that too, it's never really yours. A friend of ours just stopped by, and he said that their cat, when he was younger, I believe, or not even probably, I don't know. And it doesn't matter. In real life, this really happened.
Their cat, we don't know who. We
their
don't
cat
know
ran
when.
Away. The cat just left one
but
day.
It's true.
It was gone, and it was gone for a year. Okay, that cat's pretty much dead. And then about a year later, his dad is at the door coming in, and the cat just walks in the way it normally does or whatever, and he just watches it. It goes to where its bowl and food normally would be, and they have other cats and whatever. So there is food still in the same place. The cat goes and gets something to eat and then leaves and is never seen again forever. So I don't know. I don't know. Should I assume that? I guess I should just assume that's what's going on. I mean, when I try to think about it, I in my dreams or nightmares, I'm constantly finding the corpse of this cat in ditches. Or maybe I'm just remembering when I found the corpse of my first cat in the ditch.
Oh, God.
When I was a little kid, which I really don't remember, but in my dream,
have you blocked
I'm
it out.
I'm sure I blocked it out. In my dream, I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was in the trailer.
It's on my street. It was when we lived in the trailer, but it was that one got hit by a car, or one of them anyway, got hit by a car and was in the ditch. And I'm like, oh my God, the cat, I found him. Like, he's over in the ditch. And they were like, so what's going on? I guess we'll go find him. And I was like, he didn't come. I don't know why I wouldn't go get him. But maybe it was too steep or something. Either way,
You were too young.
I really don't remember. Yeah, I was
too
young.
Couldn't do anything.
To remember. So, yeah, now I'm just like dreaming about cat corpses. Good times.
Oh, man.
But I don't know. Yeah, I guess this I should just choose to assume the littlest hobo scenario always.
Right.
For anybody, really. If anybody
just
disappears
to help
in your life,
someone else.
They're probably
we don't know where she was before.
Yeah, so we got her from the shelter, and
she was helping someone else.
She tricked us into thinking she was a super nice, friendly lady, and then we got her home, and then she just disappeared and hid in the house for the last however many years.
Today, how she when we moved, we went back two times for 2 days, searched this empty house for a cat.
Yeah, completely disappeared. She must have left. Maybe she still
somehow
she
had
might have snuck
crawled
back in the house
into a drawer that was like in the wall, like a drawer.
Yeah, this was a weird old haunted mansion we were renting.
I don't even know how the fuck she would get in there. There's no way to get
in. No way in.
It's like, oh, I'll just finally the third day open these doors. Thing. I'll just open these drawers because fucking there is no other place to look. I don't know. So we open the drawers. There she is.
The only place left to look, only
like there's accessible. No possible way a cat could even fit into these drawers. I thought, but.
She just wedged in there, closed them behind her. I guess again, more reasons to think that was just a fully haunted house, because I mean, just weird stuff, especially
how does
the with
cat end up in a drawer?
All the time. Like the cat was always just seemingly in rooms that I thought she was on the other side of the door, and then here you are.
Remember the attic door would always open.
Yeah. I don't know. I still have nightmares about that house too. So many nightmares.
Remember when the lights would go out, the paint would peel off by itself. The screams.
Well, there was no screams, but yeah, the paint was doing weird stuff, and there was one time when a bookshelf leaked water, only once, and then stopped completely.
Or blood.
No reason. Yeah, ectoplasm.
Yeah, that was weird.
That didn't make any sense. It pissed because and rained so hard. It was
on the first floor.
And it never, ever, 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 ever leaked from that spot. Ever. Faucets on. No leaks. Just this one regular day. No rain, no nothing. Ectoplasm out from underneath the bookcase. Can't wait to move.
Oh, just God. Can't wait to move.
That's why.
I always feel like someone's watching you.
Yeah, horror movies are believable because, yeah, we're like right in the middle of town. All the windows are pretty low. Somebody could just be watching us all the time. There is ectoplasm oozing out. And we can't just like, well, let's just get out of here because it's haunted. Because that's what we're doing. We're in the process of moving into a new place. So we're kind of stuck in the only place in town. This weird haunted giant castle of
just have to take
horror.
It.
Yeah, you just have to take it for a couple of weeks. Hey, you can have all the money. All you have to do is stay in this
house. All the cupboard doors being open.
For one night. I would always think like, yeah, I guess I would. Like, it's probably
the
really
cupboard
haunted,
doors were ripped off.
Or there's no way. But yeah, like, you know, the fridge would open. You'd hear the sounds of what seemed like people doing stuff in other rooms, typing and whatnot. The cats were always looking into strange places. again, the ectoplasm.
I only went in the basement once, and that was enough.
Oh, the basement absolutely had a
someone
murder
happen
well,
there.
You know, there was a hatch that was only used for
murdering
putting,
people.
Yeah, putting murdered bodies in. That's it. There's no other
or room. Wine
I've
or
never,
potatoes, but
I've never
come
seen
on.
A movie where they didn't have a hatch that wasn't for dead bodies. It's just, hey, I got
we're gonna
this
freak
hatch.
Ourselves out.
Let's put I'm already freaked out. There's no going back now. It's too late. We moved into that house and it's never gone away. I still have to drive into that town.
We should make a documentary about it. Go back and now there's like a plague ground there.
Oh, yeah,
there's kids there.
I feel like I should go warn them. You can't be in here with children. This is dangerous. They're going to definitely be able to see the ghosts, and it's not going to go well. These ghosts are tormented.
You should go ask
they
the
were
people.
Murdered and dumped in the well. Hey, you guys. Can I ask you some questions about your house? On a scale of 1 to 10, how haunted do you think this is? Like, 50?
I don't care. It's only $400 a month.
But,
I don't give a shit.
You don't ever feel...
I don't give a shit.
Just strange.
The cupboard doors are open.
Cold when
I just fucking rip them off. Because, fuck it. I don't care. I don't need to not see my food and shit. That's fine.
You don't need to not... Okay, but besides you being a dirty hillbilly and wrecking everything...
Yeah, like the kids go down in that basement, there's equipment down there.
They should have gone to that basement. They definitely probably shouldn't touch that gym equipment. That looks old
and rusty.
I just got to
work out down there and tie them up on the chains and stuff.
So nobody came and fixed the door? You ripped the rest of the doors off?
What? It kept flying open or whatever. You go in, you leave the room, close them, then you go back in, they're all open.
So
stupid.
You fixed the haunting?
Well, I just fixed it. They're just not going to open anymore.
Oh,
so
God, but you don't
that's
feel
fine.
Uncomfortable?
The kids can. The kids I feel can comfortable.
Play with
it's $400 a month. Do you see the size of this house?
It is a pretty
big
house. I can
afford so much beer.
I guess so.
It's awesome.
I don't know. When I was here, I couldn't.
Sometimes, yes, we hear the screaming, but that's fine.
Fine.
All of us have iPods.
So, but you have no interest in moving? You're just, that's it, you're here?
Like,
this isn't a transition house. This
no,
is,
we're here to stay forever.
This is it. Like, this
they
is your,
can't,
this is the
they
great,
can't up this rent. We
the
have
best
a,
deal.
We have an agreement, a contract.
Yeah, but...
we're not moving out of here.
I think it's more in their interest.
I don't care.
For any, like, the place is paid for. He's not losing any money. You pay the bills.
That's right.
Nobody fixes anything. You're just expected to do whatever. You spent your money
on
this.
Yeah, we don't have to fix anything. It's awesome.
Little inflatable pool out here in
like,
a jungle gym.
We could just, like, do whatever we want. It's already a shithole.
I guess that's true if that's how
so
you want to live your
like,
life. You just want to live.
Rub ourselves down with butter if we want. Like, slide around.
I would. Don't
like,
don't do that.
That's a hillbilly slip and slide, right?
Yeah, that's don't watch those. TLC is not a learning
that's
channel.
Where we learn.
Yeah,
it.
I know. Don't from watch Honey TLC. Boo-boo. All the things. No. You gotta go learn and read from a real book.
We don't even care about anything. The ghosts, and sometimes I guess this fun. Fireplace so, leaks water.
All right,
from nowhere, and then we just like put it in your beer, and you get like super drunk.
Okay, that's oh, not, it's I don't crazy. Recommend that.
It's like. Free beer.
I feel like we should call somebody for that. And
sometimes
that
we give it to the kids and then they sleep for days.
Oh my God, no.
It's
kids, should,
great.
Kids shouldn't sleep for days. As much
they're
as
tired, they should sleep they should, whatever
like,
they want.
I would love it if they slept for days, but that's still unhealthy. I feel like we should get like a doctor or...
What, I feed them craft dinner? That's fine.
Somebody in here, I mean...
This stove has one burner
yeah.
that works.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
That's fine for you.
It's and fine for all of us because we all eat from the same pot.
Of course, you eat from the same pot. That's economical. It's effective. I get it. It's, you know. You
but I'll stand a, well, I don't have to stand on stools, but they're short, so they stand on stools, and then we just eat right over the sink. So less mess.
It sounds like a mess free existence. Why wouldn't everybody want to do it? So I guess I'm supposed to. I guess I should be asking about the ghosts.
Ghosts don't bother us.
You're just fine with they're here though. You're just like, yep.
Yeah, I guess they're here. Like sometimes you're like in the shower, especially me,
mm-hmm.
and you just feel like someone's watching you through this hole.
Yeah, it's probably one of your kids.
Yeah,
you should probably cover
well,
that hole.
I thought it was the ghost.
That's a little creepy. I'm sure that
you're just like, oh,
sure you
someone,
are being
feels like
watched
someone's
by
watching
the ghost,
you, so you like. Then you try to put on a better show.
Oh, no. Don't put on a better
but,
show.
You know,
people.
I don't know if
but
it's
if
true
it's
or anything.
Kid.
It's just like,
oh, no.
Oh, I don't know if it's for my kid. That's gross.
Yeah, no, but you
I
should,
think it's a ghost.
You should know. We should probably just assume it's the ghost for the sake of dignity and of everybody.
Well, sometimes,
and law.
I feel you know, like the I lights go out or whatever, and then you just you hear the screaming or whatever, but that's mm-hmm. fine, too.
I don't want to make this documentary.
Like I said, anymore. We have iPods.
I think, you know what? I'm good luck.
Do I want to work out? You look like you should work
no,
out a little
I
bit.
Don't,
go in
I
the
don't
basement.
Wanna,
there,
I'm not going in that basement. I've
just
made
go
a
in the
terrible
basement.
I've made a terrible mistake. I'm going to go to the Chuck Wagon and get some chicken.
You can't
and
leave.
Head home.
The ghost said we can't let anybody leave. That's the other thing.
Well, good thing I'm still on the doorstep. Goodbye.
No! 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 Come back.
Oh my God! Speaking of safety, I don't know. We started watching. We started watching this TV show. Maybe I should. No, I'm not going to save this talk for the break. We're looking for TV shows, and typically we go through the internet and Tara will look at like the actual poster that they have there, the image that represents the show. And I was scrolling through. And I was like, hey, this thing is called
Marriage Boot Camp Bridezillas.
Yes, Marriage Boot Camp Bridezillas. And I was just like, that's crazy. Like, do those words go together? This is the craziest sounding show. And then the picture looked like, real TV people, not real people. You know, something posed as if it might be an actual show. And I was like, whatever. I assumed it was some sort of crazy win back your marriage or whatever, TLC nonsense. And then I thought, is it a reality show? Because that's all of this sounds like. These are too
win
many words.
Win back your marriage.
Yeah. Like, with through tasks and what have you.
You want this marriage, you're going to have to win it. Because this guy's going to leave. Unless you swing across this rope and shoot Nerf guns.
Shirtless with your Nerf guns out.
Oh, God.
But then I clicked on it to read the description of the show. And the description was, these bridezillas... which is another show, which I didn't realize until I started reading. Oh, of these brides. Okay, I forgot. Okay, step one, establish this is a spinoff of Bridezillas when maniacs get married and somebody films it and then nobody goes to jail or gets counseling for being a super maniac because they're maniacs. They don't want to get married. They just want a wedding. It's crazy. These people are crazy. So apparently 6 months to a year and a half later, these people go to marriage counseling or they get divorced. And six of these Bridezilla couples go to this marriage boot camp, which I guess is also another show, maybe, or maybe this is the first time, and then it's the, I don't know, whatever it is, it feels like this, the Bridezilla celebrity version of the Marriage Boot Camp. So this, you know, Dr. Phil type of husband-wife couple brings whatever it is, six or seven couples in, and they're all maniacs. Like, I mean, to varying degrees. At the beginning, they're all pretty much complete maniacs. Day one, it's, you know, they're ready to murder each other, and they think that's funny and terrible at the same time. Like, they're all like very,
pulling knives on each other.
Yeah, like one just guy was verbally like, abusive. Yes, no, she's crazy. She's like, I am. Like, I'll hit him. I'll pull a knife on him. Like, I'll pull a knife on him.
Haven't
like,
even been married a year.
Yeah. And it's like, this is nuts. Like, one guy, one couple, she's definitely just like, he's cheating. He's totally cheating on me. And he's like, no, I'm not. Like, he won't ever let me see his phone. His phone is always locked. So it just goes on and on like that, like the whole season. But most of the couples by like the third or fourth episode are starting to see that they're maniacs. Like, you know, even within the first episode, they did a thing where it was like, all right, like, have a fight. Like, just fight like you would normally fight on this topic. And they start going bananas. And then they have a score. And then some of them have really high scores and some of them have really low scores. And at the end, they're like, okay, so whatever, crazy lady number one, crazy lady number two, and this guy and that guy, you guys, like, you won. Like, you guys have the highest scores. And they're like, yeah! And I'm just like, I don't understand. I can only imagine that those numbers are bad. Like, it has to be how many times you were a horrible person. Because you guys were only horrible people. Like, this wasn't when you decided to make a good decision and have a reasonable conversation. And then, you know, I was like, this show is nuts. Like, this doesn't work. I can't watch this. And then the, you know, Dr. Phil type guy was like, all right, now you thought you won? What did you win? Everybody here is like scared and confused, and you're a maniac and you're acting like you're a winner. Like, you won nothing. And they're like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. Like, oh my God, like, somebody had to tell you that? You just flipped out and you thought like, I'm the winner. You guys are all getting, like, I was like, episode one, I'm like, nobody here is not getting divorced by the end of the season. Couple episodes in, you know, people start acting more human and whatever. Stop pretending to be these weird things. This one lady just, oh my God, she was so just bananas. Like, at the end of each episode, they kind of give him a critique. This is how he did at the tasks or whatever. They give them little challenges that are, you know, simple. It's not Survivor or anything. Like, hey, write a, you know, little story about each other and then read it. Or let's pretend, like, what if you were getting divorced? Then what would happen? And they, you know, learn whatever. So this one lady was like getting critiqued, and they barely even said anything. They were like, okay, well, you clearly are just faking your way through this. You're pretending, you're trying to be the boss and you're trying to control everybody else when you really are here supposed to, you know, you're here to learn something and fix your marriage. And you're just trying to, you're like, oh, I got that guy covered. He does what I tell him to do. No big deal. And then she was like, I don't have to listen to this. I do not have to listen to this. You sit here and badmouth me. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. You're like, you can't do this to me. So she storms out of the room. She's gone for about 30 seconds. And then they go to her husband like, okay, well, then I guess we'll skip her. Seemed like you were really trying and doing your best. You know, you were actually like, instead of ignoring things, like you were trying to, you know, communicate and blah, blah, blah. Like, we were actually just into what you were doing. Like, you're making progress, you know. Now, if she just would notice that you are actually trying and not pretending, and then you could both stop pretending, whatever. So they could barely get that out. And she comes storming back in like, I'm not going to be able to stand outside while you talk about me behind my back. And they're like, everybody in the room, like all the couples are all together all the time, which is just insane. So they're all just comparing each other and judging each other, like, to thousandth degree for whatever reason. She comes in screaming and everybody's just like, you left, you know, we're here to get help. You keep crying and pretending to cry. Like, I'm not pretending. Like, I go to church and I do this. Like, what are you talking about? So anyway, the show is just more amazing and amazing, like, every day. For one, that some of these people are like, wow, this Marilyn and whatever his wife's name, like, they're really working it out. Like, they're really getting along. They're good people. Like, they just got really stressed out because they had a kid, and they just really don't know how to divide their time, and that's all that is. So they're just hanging out with other friends to kind of build up their own self-esteem or whatever. And it's like, by, you know, the second episode, it's like, they're good people. And, you know, when the chance comes to where it's like, all right, pick somebody else in the group that you would, you know, have as your wife or whatever, and I don't know, tell why, everybody picked those two separately. And they were like, well, he's like really, he listens and blah, blah, blah. And like, the more like the wives realized, like, oh, he really is like that. Like, ah, oh, I forgot because I just don't talk to him anymore because I hate him because we have this kid and it's exhausting. Anyway, this task that's just amazingly hilarious. There's this couple, their problem is like they're too selfish or something. They keep saying they're just all about things and money and cars and whatever. And basically he's like, as long as I, you know, buy her the jewelry and whatever she wants, she's happy. And she says like, yeah, basically that's it. Like, as long as he buys me things, I'm happy. So they get them to write all the things that make them happy about the other person or whatever.
Well, listen, why do you love your spouse?
Yeah, your spouse. So then they bring the spouse out. They put him in a coffin. And they're like, all right, now take that thing you wrote and read it in the past tense as if it's a eulogy. And he has to sit there. So everybody has this revelation when they go through. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like, this really feels real. They hire these actors that are terrible, like these crazy extras, to look sad in the background. And, I mean, some of them are just sitting there quietly staring off. One lady, I think, doesn't know why she's there. And another guy is acting his face off. He just can't stop reacting to everything as if he is just like, you're not really here, man. You're just feeling the thing. Just put your head down and look sad so people can look sad. They're not looking for you to play a part of concerned mourner. So that guy was kind of funny to watch. So this couple, the husband gets in and she's reading her thing and she's like, oh my God, like, I love Johnny because he helped me in supporting my shopping habit. And, you know, he was a strong guy and he was, you know, nice to me. And he spent lots of money on me and he bought me nice cars and the jewelry that I like, he gets for me. And if I don't like it, he replaces it. Like, all of that stuff. And he was like, selfish. I can't believe you. Like, I'm dead over here, you crazy bitch. And she's like, stop it. Like, you're supposed to be dead. And they're just fully fighting while he's in the coffin. Everybody else is crying and losing their mind. One lady fully refuses. And she claims that, oh my God, if my pastor saw me, if she saw me, you know, get in there, like, if your pastor saw you on the show,
think you're a vampire.
For one thing, she was like, oh my God, this is crazy, I'm not getting that goddamn thing, fuck you guys, fuck this, if my fucking pastor saw me in this fucking thing, holy shit,
he would shit a brick.
Yeah, like, if your pastor's watching, it's too late, you might as well get in the coffin.
Going
then.
To hell.
She's like, you're all sickos for doing this. And then after that, she's calling them sickos forever. But then every episode after that, she is a full-blown maniac. She's just calling people out on nothing that needs to be called out. Like, oh my God, there you go again, saying things to people.
She already has a divorce. And I think she already has someone else.
Yeah, and I think her husband is already married to a man. That guy is clearly a gay guy. I mean, and she's just obviously just like owns him, like, or owned him or whatever. And, you know, basically keeps him around and he can't wait to escape and has no idea how to. But
this show was hilarious. I've never watched it.
So, spoiler, this is the greatest spoiler of ever. I mean, you can see it coming from minute one. This one couple, Byron and Portia, I believe it is. They're your favorite couple. They can't not be. Byron, like, for the whole thing, it's just like, he's the greatest guy. I don't care if he's cheating on her 1,000 times over. He's the greatest guy. He just, when they put him in the coffin, it's the only time he's happy. Throughout the whole show, he's scared to death that this woman is going to murder him. Like, they have a kid and she threatens him all the time. And he's just like, I'm not sure.
So,
like,
he does not want,
like, his phone is locked. I'm not showing you my phone. Like, maybe for, you know, we're hoping.
One point he gives her the phone and she's like, finally. And then she goes, is it your password or whatever? And he's like, this is my password. And then she goes to go and she's like, where's the battery? And he's like, nope.
Yep.
She took the battery.
So he took the battery. Like, he just will not. Like, and that's after he promised to, like, go to be open from now on. And
what all he says is, yep. Nope.
Yeah, he says very few words.
So are you going to show your phone? Are you going to come clean? Yep.
Yeah, finally.
Are you going to do it? Yep. Can I see your phone? Nope.
Yeah. So he does that over and over again. The father's like, all right, I'll show you my phone. And he's like pressing the buttons, like, what are you doing, Byron? And then Porsche's like, he's deleting everything. He's deleting everything. He's deleting everything. Byron. He's like, what? So then after that, it's like he's deleted everything, but still messages are coming in. So he still can't show her anything. And yeah, you're hoping that he's just texting, I'm scared of my wife. She's a maniac. She's going to kill me and stuff like that. And I can't let her see that. Because I can't let her know how afraid of her she is. Because I still love her, and she's the mother of my child. But she's still a crazy maniac who's going to cut me one of these days for not doing anything. But she's also convinced he's cheating on him. And apparently has been doing it since before they started going out or whatever. And finally, he calls his mom and kids and says, like, all right, yes, I've been cheating forever. And then finally tells her, like, yes, I've been cheating forever. And then they're still on the show. I don't know.
He also says, she's like, well, with who?
Oh, yeah.
Who is it? And he's like, well, 3 or 5 or 6 people.
Yeah. Like, what is it? Like, well, usually at least 3 at any given time, you know, for like a month or whatever. It's like, you know.
Oh, my God.
He's always got a place to go home to. So what does he care?
He just can't break it off with anybody.
Yeah. He's probably semi-married or engaged to a lot of them. So up until then, he's pretty much adorable. He has a heart attack, which is, I still think is fake, or gas or something, not a heart attack. But again, when he's in the hospital laying on the gurney, as happy as he looked when he was in the coffin. Finally, she has to leave. There's nothing she can do. I get to stay here and just be by myself, and nothing can stop that. I'm just going to be alone. And then even when he comes back from the hospital, she's like, yeah, I've been cheating. Like, when? Like, now? Before, like, in the hospital, like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm pretty sure
he's cheating right now while I'm talking to you.
I feel like that he was, and I don't know how or what. And they also, the other greatest thing about this show,
with the screen right here, I'm cheating on you right now.
If you have been watching the show, maybe you've noticed this, maybe you haven't, and now you will, because I'm going to open your eyes to it if you haven't noticed it. There's a lot, like, so many shots filmed in the creepy spying on people from behind a corner or through a stairway banisters, you know, that old trick. It's
always Byron.
It's creepy and weird for a reality show because
we call it the Byron cam.
Yeah, it's most apparent when, yeah, they're talking about somebody specific and he's pacing around somewhere like a tiger. And then they show all these shots where it's like, oh, my God, get out. Byron's going to kill you. He's watching. Oh, my God. Or whatever. The other crazy maniac. But then I realized, oh, they do that all the time. They're constantly filming in this as if like, oh, this is so real that we're keeping the cameras like out of the room and they're just peeking. But there's fully enough room for the cameraman to just zoom in a little tighter or take half a step to the right or left and then not have this piece of foreground. That's one of the things I'm pretty sure you learn in cameraman school is how to show all the stuff. But they're clearly like specifically going for the look of we're creeping and watching from behind the thing because there are other cameramen in the room. So it doesn't matter. You know, there's other angles. You're clearly refilming things. And so this angle, it just makes it really creepy when it's a show about helping people. It's like if they were using that creepy cam on Dr. Phil. As if, you know, a view from, like, within his mustache or, you know, like, up.
Why is there a cameraman from in his mustache? Oh, my God.
Exactly, because it's just to be creepy. Or even just Dr. Phil view. Like, that would be
from over his shoulder.
Yeah, and especially, like, okay, Dr. Phil's not going to be out yet. He's going to talk about you. And we're going to show you from his perspective looking from, you know, behind this painting or a picture of Oprah on the back of the stage.
Oh, my God.
So it's just, it's very disconcerting. It's a very... Like, again, a super hilarious, unbelievably entertaining show. A lot of it's entertaining because of how inappropriate and wrong it is. And other things are like, yeah, they're really helping these people. They really do need help. And, you know, at first I'm thinking, well, it's just, no, these people, it's too late. They don't understand how to have relationships and they're maniacs. And then it's, oh, you realize, yeah, they really are. Just they don't understand how to have a relationship and they're maniacs. And these people can actually help them. Hmm. Some of the things they do, I still don't
get the help they need.
Yeah, the jumping into the water. I just don't get. Please jump into this pool. Ah, it's scary.
Okay.
No, not really.
I'll be like, I'll jump. I don't care.
It's just the pool behind your mansion. It's not the Titanic like you're pretending that it is. Some of the things just don't work. Like, I thought the putting people in a casket and making them give a eulogy, like, yeah, that'll work. Like, that'll put you in a mood to understand stuff. But pretending to jump off a boat, it doesn't have the effect. You know, video games are more realistic than jumping into your pool and pretending.
Is the scenario that they were in the lifeboat, and
I believe it was just sinking ship. The ship's going down. He basically described the Titanic without saying Titanic. It was when they pumped in a bunch of dry ice fog. Anyway, that's Marriage Boot Camp Bridezillas. We're going to go see why Burke is so angry. And we'll be back after these messages from this podcast, CurtisAndTerrorShow.com.
It's a lovely day to visit www.CurtisAndTaraShow.com.
So, last week or the week before, I've lost track of all time and space. Had a meeting with a couple of people down on the, I was going to say down on the boardwalk, but on a outdoor patio restaurant overlooking the Miramichi River. And one of the guys was talking about how when he first came to Miramichi, he saw on the menu lobster was like $12 for like, whatever, 2 pounds of lobster or something. He was like, oh my God, $12 or even $18, something ridiculous like that. And he came down from Ontario and he was like, that's amazing. Like, that's an amazing price. And then months later, he came back and he was like, oh, the lobster here was really good and so like affordable. I'm going to get the lobster. So he ordered lobster and it was like $80.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, that's crazy. One,
that's too much.
I've never gotten caught in the weird lobster trap that people seem to keep getting caught in, where they buy lobster and it is like, what? That's how much it costs? Because I think it's disgusting. Just to look at and to smell and to see people eat, and the idea of eating it is just
disgustingly delicious.
It's just awful. But also, I don't know, it always confuses me and blows my mind, because I told that guy, like, when I, you know, first moved away from home and people would talk about lobster and, oh, it'd be cool, like, someday we should, like, you know, pool our money together or save up our money and, like, let's, like, have, like, a lobster dinner or go somewhere and get lobster. Like, imagine if you could afford lobster. And I was always like, what are you talking about? I don't understand. Like, lobster's free. Like, I'm pretty sure pretty much every year during lobster season, you know, every few weeks or, you know, once a month or something, it seemed like somebody would just stop by and drop off like a garbage bag full of lobsters. Like, you guys just didn't have garbage bags full of lobsters in your house. You know, that was the thing, was, oh, you know, my grandmother would get some and we would get some. It's just like everybody in the family was a lobster fisherman. So it was like, well, you know, once they finished up or whatever, or, you know, had enough to sell, or I don't know how the business worked, we'd get like a dozen lobsters or something like that, or a half dozen, depending on, you know, people were coming over, or it was just like, here you go. I was just like, maybe it wasn't like
they're Julia Roberts from Mystic Pizza.
I've never seen that movie. I don't know what that means.
Wow. But, yeah, she was the daughter of a fisherman, and when she opened the fridge,
it was just lobsters.
It was just lobsters in the whole fridge.
Okay, yeah.
So then they went to, she went out to dinner with her boyfriend or this guy or whatever, but he was all like rich. So they went to the country club and then they served lobster. And she was like, She was like, oh, I'm going to get to, you know, go out on a nice, for this nice dinner and everything.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, after a point I was, Julia Roberts and Indiana Jones with the snakes. Just, oh no, not lobsters again. Like, when I'd open the fridge, it was my temple of doom of, oh, there they are. And then just that smell, I'm like, there goes my appetite. I was so hungry, and now I don't feel like eating again. And I just, oh, they were just, oh, it was just awful. Like, again, just watching people eat it is just a horrific mess of just madness and violence. Burke, damn. So, of course, at this meeting, I, you know, tell the guy, like, but that was, you know, that was the old days. That was 100 years ago. I'm sure stuff like that doesn't happen anymore. People don't just stop by with a dozen lobsters. You know, they are fairly expensive everywhere and hard to come by, etc. I think. I don't really know. I'm still pretty sure. We can buy them at the grocery store for like
$6 or $9. You know, they're not big and impressive, but they're lobsters. You seem to enjoy the fact that they still taste like lobster.
Yes.
So
they are.
So anyway, that was the old days. We go to Cape Breton. We go back home to my parents' house. And we're there, I'd say, about 9 minutes. We're in the house 9 minutes. And a guy stops by. I think it was my uncle that dropped them off. I can't remember now. So many people stopped by. And, here you go. You might want to put those in a bowl before you put them in the fridge, or else, you know, it'll, like, leak all over the fridge there. It's just a, you know, a dozen lobsters or whatever. They're like, what? What? I just finished telling a guy that, yeah, in the old days, people like you, probably mostly you, would just stop by and drop off free lobsters, because lobsters are free and they're garbage and they belong in old, dirty old garbage bags. And then here it is happening again right now in 2013, practically 2014, and lobsters are still free. Just like cell phones. I had no idea all this time just how free cell phones were. I got a full-blown computer in my pocket. And they just were like, oh, hey, you know how you got that phone? Yeah. Throw it away and just replace it with this one now. Well, what about this one? We don't care. Throw it away or do anything with it. It still works, just not as a phone. It's still just a computer. And here you go. Here's another one, because phones are free. There's no reason for anybody to starve because phones are free.
Sense.
Nothing makes any sense. Every time Tara watches a new documentary on Sunday, I'm just completely like, what are we doing? What are people doing? Everybody is so confused just because they made up a bunch of stuff for themselves to do, and then they're trying to do it, and they're like, oh, why doesn't this work? Well, mostly because you made it up, and you're crazy.
And Burke's just chasing his tail around him.
Yeah, dogs are nuts. I mean, this dog can do like 1,000 tricks, and it's all amazing. But at the heart of it, he's still a wild animal, and for some reason, he has no problem with trying to swallow his own tail, and just gnawing on it like a maniac. He's an absolute, like, that's maniac behavior. That's what Dexter's dog would do. WWDD. What would Dexter's dog do?
That's a reflection of us.
Exactly. We're just chasing our own tails, talking in circles about our dog again. You know, we took the dog on a trip to Cape Breton, and I am so sick of talking about the dog. You're talking about dogs. Because everybody who has a dog or likes dogs, they'll talk about dogs. And we have a dog, and it's like, all right, I've got 1,000 dumb little stories about the dog, too. And then after a while, it's just like,
that's what happens if you have kids.
Yeah, it's that exact same thing of like, oh, this is what I can't stand about people talking about kids. Of course, and cats and dogs. You know, at least you usually get, you know, one or two really interesting, funny stories.
I hate talking about cats.
Yeah. It's
about other people's cats.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's awful that, you know, we do it on a podcast and have no shame for it. But a funny story about animals in Cape Breton was my aunt and uncle were worried, scared, because there was this wolf skulking around. It's all like farmland and stuff all around there. And they were just like, look at it. Like, it's a wolf that, you know, it's totally, like, we should call somebody. So by the time everybody heard the rumors of like, oh my God, there's a wolf down at their house, it was too late. They already noticed that it had a collar and it was just a dog. So, you know, they're on the phone telling whatever, in the middle of telling somebody, oh my God, the wolf, like the wolf is out there. What should we do? We should call the animal control or somebody. And then he yells back in, never mind. It's got a collar. It's not a wolf. We've been afraid for 2 weeks of this wolf, and it turns out it's just a regular, just a mangy old dog. Good thing I didn't have a gun, because I totally would have shot Steve's dog. Sorry, Steve. I was going to shoot your dog. Like, you should go talk to Steve. And to not talk about dogs for a minute, and speaking of crazy road trips to Cape Breton, while we're careening through the highway and the backwoods and the mountains and all those scenic roadways that New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Cape Breton all have to offer, there was a lot of police, and whatever, that's no big deal to me, because I really don't speed. You know, I just do the speed limit, everything's cool, no worries. If the lights flash, it means that something's fallen off the car, or it better be for my actual own safety. So we're going up the highway, no big deal, still, you know, 110 kilometers an hour. It's a good speed. Legal speed. And
as we're coming up over the crest of this, you know, hill that, you know, one would commonly call a blind crest because you can't see what's over the top until you're really up at the top. This cop is just parked there with all of the lights just flashing and blaring. Nobody's pulled over. Just all the lights are on just to be like, hey, take notice. And they do that all the time. I always forget about it. And every time I see it, I was like, oh my God, why? Why do they keep doing that? Because I'm programmed to know that, you know, those are emergency lights. I believe they're specifically called emergency lights for emergencies. So when there's an emergency, everyone knows, like, look out, get out of the way.
What if you just want to be like, hey, we're having a party. Lights.
A party? They're party lights?
Party lights, yeah, for the side of the road party.
If
tailgate parties.
If, again, if there was some sort of precedent set, if it was established that enough cars were on the side of the road with party lights, then it's like, okay, I wouldn't be as panicked. But these are full-blown red and blue and white emergency lights, like spinning and flashing in all the, you know, every corner of the windows, the front lights. So it's like all of a sudden I just, you know, you come over a hill and you're doing 110. And it's just emergency, emergency, emergency. It might as well be the dash lights in your own car flashing on, like something is wrong. Like, should I swerve? Like, what am I supposed to, like, it literally is like avoid, like just that that's there so you can avoid it, so the cop can, you know, go through and catch the bad guys or get to the accident or wherever they're trying to get. And now they're in front of me, not moving. So I assume that, oh my God, like, should I, you know, I'm gonna slam on the brakes and, like, start swerving around nothing, because is there a giant hole? Like, you know, is there a dome surrounding this part of town? And I can't see it cutting into the roadway,
oh, no.
Even though everywhere else it's a clear
splat.
Cut, so you should be able to see it. But whatever, that's the dome on ABC or NBC.
We didn't have enough graphics because of those.
They could afford the graphics, they just couldn't explain it. You know, or they couldn't do the shots where people were just like running headfirst into a wall, like, oh, I didn't know it was there, when you can clearly see like a big giant dirt trench where it's cut into the ground. Just, that's, you know, the magic of TV. In order to maintain your story or further your story, you have to have inconsistencies. And that's the dog crying in the background, because dogs, like I said, are maniacs, and no matter how much attention you give them, they still want a little bit more. So I don't know. I don't think that's right. It's just, so when, for me anyways, as a person who's just like, ah, emergency, and now I'm panicked, you know, I find when I'm nervous, like, it takes a few minutes to go away. What about like the old ladies who are like, ah,
near, careen into,
yeah,
the car.
Near heart attack. Like, there's gotta be a lot of like people who are really just affected by this. You know, because it is just like, you're just, you know, flashing your lights for no reason. I mean, you can't do that on TV. You can't just flash lights because it'll give people seizures. What if there's an epileptic person driving down the street and they're just, you know, it just seems like a dangerous thing. You know, it's like having a big fog.
You're right. You shouldn't allow people with epilepsy to drive. That's it.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how serious and how quickly that stuff can come on. It's probably not a great idea if you're prone to seizures, at least. If you never have them, then,
if you take medication,
yeah, then maybe it's fine. But again, I don't have them. I don't know about that world. Maybe it's pretty controllable, so you can get through a driving experience. But if it's triggered by nerves, and all of a sudden a nervous situation happens in the driving world, then I just couldn't. I wouldn't want to imagine it. You know,
they always have those lights on the signs.
Yeah. Oh my God, I don't know how people with, you know, who are affected by flashing bright lights could live in like Halifax or a city that just flashes those incredibly bright signs up near the overpasses at eye level. Boop, boop. Ma'am, please be careful. Just letting you know we're here scaring people. Oh,
you,
my God.
Scared me.
Just
I almost
does.
Had a heart attack.
That's what a cop does. Also during the time.
Listen, young man.
We were away dodging the cops and young men. I don't even want to talk about this movie, but I think we're going to wrap the show up and come back with more later on. But we went and saw The Man of Steel, which I guess is probably a better name than calling it Superman, because it's not a Superman story. Like, there's so many.
It's like a Superman.
It's more like the Hulk, a very dark Hulk movie with Superman just CG'd in place of the Hulk for whatever reason. Or even a Wolverine story. Like, I see, I don't know, I guess I see what they're trying to do, but Superman is just one of those characters that is just like, well, it doesn't make sense if he's not Superman. You know, it just, he's just a
guy, whatever. Like, it's, I mean, whatever. It makes it real, I guess, but then he does things that I don't approve of. I don't know.
Well, somewhere... you could make your own Superman movie.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. Just have...
Call it.
Have my own Superman movie.
Swell guy.
The swellest man. The handsomest
awesome
smile.
Dude.
Do no wrong, always. I don't know. I just think that, not to spoil the movie for anybody, I just think he should have... Yeah. Just did anything else rather than what he did. Just pulled him into space. I don't know, lobotomized him. Whatever. I don't know.
That's
Know. It just seems like that's just so not Superman. Also, I think my favorite story was the stuff about his, I feel like his mom was like the most interesting character in the whole movie. Like, oh, what's she up to now, I wonder? Everybody else, I just don't care. Like, I just don't care if anybody dies. Kevin Costner, I thought he was pretty cool. He actually did a good job. And Perry White with an earring, also pretty good. You know, I don't understand why he had an earring. You think he would have taken that out for that role as an uptight guy?
That's in his contract.
But yeah, Morpheus does not remove earrings. He just doesn't. He does play a half-decent Perry White. Again, a whole bunch of story about, like, hey, we got to save this secretary lady. Like, do you? Everyone's dead. Who cares? I don't care. Again, I don't care if any of you die. Superman is full-blown just killing everybody. They didn't evacuate the city. Nobody's prepared for this. Nobody knows what's happening. You're tearing down buildings left, right, and center, and you're not even thinking about it. Like, this is, like, the dark... Like, this Superman is darker than the bad Superman from Superman 2 or whatever it was.
Maybe they're just saying, like, listen, at the beginning, he wasn't very good at shit. He killed some people. That's the truth.
Yeah, I guess that is the truth.
And later on, he was all like, no, I'm too good for him. I'm really good. Maybe. I never killed anybody from this planet. Mm-hmm. Wink.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that story got out of hand real fast. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like...
It was like it's six stories.
Yeah, too many stories. I just didn't... And none of them really went anywhere. And the timing was just bad. You know, I guess... After, and I'm sure I've said this before, after the Matrix 3, whichever one that was, Revelations, when, you know, they're having an air fight, they're flying through the air and fighting each other with the CG guys, and I thought, well, finally, yes, well, that now we should definitely make a Superman movie and have some nice flying fighting stuff. Let's do that. It's going to look great. We can do it now. And then a Superman movie came out, and I'm like, okay, it didn't look bad. It was just the most boring superhero movie ever. Just so boring. Like, the biggest action sequence was him, like, holding a thing, and he was, I guess, like, lifting a boat, but from the angle, you just saw him standing somewhere, and then, you know, I guess the boat's rising up, but we can't see that because it's a tight shot, but that's, you know, his most harrowing experience. And it was like, all right, cool, who cares? That movie was boring. And this one, I can't say it was boring. It was just, you know, it was action-packed. But a lot of the scenes looked like, we didn't finish the CG. Cover it with speed wind and smoke and debris. And let's let everybody use their imagination. I know it's a giant screen and we have nothing to do but fill it. But we decided to make a 25-minute fight sequence. And no one's going to see any of it. And I mean, I'm not like saying, like, I need a bunch of slow-motion Matrix shots. Just... Who's fighting what now? What's happening? I can't keep up. It just seems like a lot of dust. And in one of those scenes was totally like, that was totally not rendered, for sure.
You have to appreciate the dust special effects. What about that dust guy?
The dust guy? Oh, the dust animator?
Yeah.
I mean, he went above and beyond. He really wanted himself to be noticed.
He really made this movie.
Everything is dusty. Everything is just oozing dust constantly.
He did a fantastic job. Mm.
The design, like, again, just much like the other one, it looked great. I liked the costume. I liked
the
armor. Or she. She could also have done a great job with all that dust. The ships, like, everything looked super great. Like, everybody looked awesome. Everybody was picked based on how they looked, and everybody did a good job looking good, and all the things looked good, and they were all picked, and they went together well, and everything was just perfect, and or whatever. Nothing existed, and it was all made with CG. Either way, everything looked awesome. Even Superman with a beard. I'm like, this is cool. Yeah. He's like trying to just make his way and hide out like the Hulk, but still use his powers for good, and he's confused.
good for you. Do that story. This is all well and good. But Superman is still, he's a Boy Scout. He still, you know, should know at least how to be a good person without killing everybody. I just feel like his go-to was just, I'm just going to destroy everything. And then you guys can sort this out. Everything. I mean, without going back in time, you destroyed everything. And I don't know, considering the, you know, the opposite was, well, Zod is going to just destroy everything anyway, so you might as well do as much damage as it takes. But also, Zod, as a super smart general, should have realized, oh, wait, what? I have a super big army of super soldiers here. All I have to do is say, take your mask off and enjoy, and then I'm going to, like, win the war on Earth in, like, 2 seconds. Like, that, he didn't even get around to that. I don't know. And it just everything, again, about the timing of, like, oh, my God, we only have a few seconds to pull off this maneuver. And it just, everything was like, all right, they made the fight sequence last an hour, and it should have just been, like, 2 punches, because that's how much time you need to do your little thing that we're waiting for. So now you're, whatever, trying to put the key in for an hour. The other lady's about to get crushed for an hour. I'm not saying don't watch Superman. I'm just saying, I don't know. It's, if you love the Avengers and the Hulk movies, all of your favorite scenes from those movies are in them, with Superman. So I guess that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Sometimes you just want to see something else with other characters. I mean, I still don't love the, or don't not love, which means I love the Star Wars Family Guy. I think, and the Robot Chicken Family Guy, or Robot Chicken Star Wars stuff, I think it's great to see another version of something that I liked, and that's funnier and whatever, but this was just, it was weird to see the Hulk that way, that's all. I mean, I don't know. I could still go for another Hulk movie. I still enjoy both of those on a certain level. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I don't enjoy the Daredevil movie, so I can't be all bad. Anyway, I'm going to go beat the dog. Not really. Don't call dog services or child services. Probably going to give
him... Don't worry.
Give him some
treats. There's no such thing, so...
And...
it doesn't matter.
Make him feel good about himself. My name is Curtis.
And I'm Tara.
And this has been the Curtis and Tara Show. Please do not forget to go to iTunes and leave a comment and rate the show. And that will make us more popular with the people at iTunes. Because that's who we're trying to impress. I mean... Isn't that who everyone's trying to impress? That's who you're trying to impress, I assume. And then if you write the best comment, they're going to read it and go, oh, man, this guy's the best commenter on the iTunes. And he'll go home and talk to his wife about you. And you won't even notice, but you'll get a weird, odd, warm feeling while you're eating your dinner. And if you do, you'll know that's why that happens. Somebody read your comment, and then they retold that as a story to their wife who doesn't get about much. Meow.